Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 1. And he, this angel that has been showing John around heaven, he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now, is this literal H2O? It very well could be, and perhaps is, but I want you to notice that it transcends just H2O, the river of the water of life itself. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne and of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. Do you notice who is represented here in the New Jerusalem? The Spirit, the throne, if you will, the Father, and of course, the Lamb, the Trinity. Do we believe in three gods? No, just one God who has shown himself to us in three different uniforms. And here they all are at the same time. How does God do that? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know how he does that. But I do know this. He is absolutely beyond anything any human brain can truly apprehend. Verse 2. In the middle of its street, this New Jerusalem, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. There it is back again. Remember how the angel had to shut the gate to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? Why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is they didn't want Adam and Eve getting back in the Garden of Eden and eating of the tree of life. Not good for someone to live forever in a broken, fallen state. But here it is again, replanted here in the New Jerusalem, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Remember, that doesn't mean that there's sickness in the New Jerusalem. Not at all. It would have been another word in Greek. This Greek word is therapia. And it means to invigorate, to stimulate. A continual renewal. We've talked about that. When God got done creating the heavens and the earth, it was perfect. Before sin ravaged planet Earth, how awesome was God's creation? It was beyond description. The animals didn't go all Discovery Channel on the other animals. Before sin entered the world, God's perfect creation literally was not under the five laws of thermodynamics as we know them, especially entropy, that everything is winding down. That there is a built-in decay in anything that you and I can either make and fashion with our hands, or that biologically we can procreate from our DNA. That's why you have to keep painting your house, batteries in your watches. You have to keep eating food. Why is that? Because if we didn't, on this side of sin, it breaks down. It could be that the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, started by sin, is reversed here. Therapia means not going from sickness to health, but going from the peak of health to better health, if that's even possible. You've heard me say it before. People who try to conceptualize heaven from under the sun, what's heaven going to be like? Sometimes they ask me. For the surfer, is it going to be the endless wave? For those of you who especially like yogurt beach, is it a mountain of yogurt you just swim through? Oh, I don't think so. Under the sun where we are, what makes humans happy, at the same time too, humans get tired, wearisome of anything. The billionth year you are in heaven will be as novel, fresh, new as the first moment when you arrived. Woo! And I mean woo, from the Greek word woo. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, never entered in the heart of man. You guys, it's not going to be like anything we've experienced here. These leaves, they don't make us go from sickness to health, because there is no sickness. You go from newness and novelty and fresh to newness, novelty, and fresh again. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. What does that mean? Right in your margin there, Romans 8, verse 22, I'll read it to you. Paul says, the creation itself, what is that? The trees and the rocks and plate tectonics. The creation itself also would be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What does corruption mean, you guys? It means decay. Same idea. Remember, he got taken up in the spirit after they stoned him outside of the city of Lystra. Luke, the doctor who was with him, said, he sure looked dead to us. And then suddenly he sat up, brushed off the dust, and then you know what he does? Man, Paul gets up, he goes right back in. So he'll write later, he says, I don't know if I was in the spirit or what, but I know a guy, meaning himself, who saw behind the veil, saw into the dimensional system where God lives. He says, the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of decay, corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, listen, groans and labors with birth pains until that day. What is Paul saying? He's saying that even the creation itself is effectively going, oh, when will we be restored? And for those of you who are thinking individuals, you've heard this before. And I'll bet you sort of tried it on and intellectually tried to make heads or tails of it. If God is such a God of love, then why do horrible things happen in his creation? Why is there cancer and crack babies and all the injustices? Here's the reason, you guys. When God got done creating the heavens and the earth, was there any of that stuff? How was Adam and Eve doing? They were both naked and felt no shame. There was no divorce court. There was no communal property. It was naked, felt no shame. They were completely intimate and connected, totally others focused. What changed all of that? Sin did. Before Adam and Eve had sinned, they had no ability to even think of anything sinful. How many of you would like 20 minutes of that? Now that's coming when we get our new bodies. They had no evil thoughts whatsoever, and only one condition: don't eat of the tree. Because when you do, your eyes will be open. Opened to what? Now for the first time, Adam could conceptualize, dwell upon, be tempted by his sin. That's when the devil says, I got these guys. If God is such a God of love, why are there terrible things in the world? Because planet Earth, since the Garden of Eden, has been under new management. Fallen, sinful man, poked and prodded, tempted by virtue of his appetites into all kinds of terrible decisions. That's where sickness and wretchedness and wrecked and broken things came from. God gave man free will. What did man do with his free will? He messed up the whole show. And God is saying, look at here one more time. I'm going to fix all that. Romans 8, verse 22. No more curse. Even the creation is all, oh, this sin. Verse number 3. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Psalm 17, verse 15. It says, as for me, I will see your face, O Lord, in righteousness. One day I shall be satisfied. What is my heart and flesh really crying out for? Another Raiders win. More square footage in my home, a newer car, a better job, a more connected relationship, then I will feel good about myself and life in general? Not really. The Bible says your heart and flesh actually cry out for Him. And the psalmist knows that, oh, someday I'm going to wake up in your righteousness and I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Our complete knowledge and intimacy with the very fountain of life is coming. In worship, I pray that you have an opportunity with us on Sundays, maybe on Wednesdays. An opportunity when you come in just to sit and worship the Lord. And maybe the thought occurred to you, well, these guys seem to be connecting with something. What's going on? What's with the snuffling? What are these guys feeling? Oh, I invite you. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Sometimes we have a sour disposition. Little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but we are strong. Sometimes you've been in the funk for so long, it takes a couple times around the chorus. Yes, Jesus loves me. And then pretty soon, He does. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Let me invite you for a week to drive around without your radio on. Try it. No radio. Just drive it in the quietness of your heart. Notice, first of all, how weird you feel. No distractions. And try one of the worship songs that maybe come to mind. And watch God pull you out of your funk. And when you connect with His heart, and you can sort of sing these songs right to Him, you will feel, you will sense the Holy Spirit, who has always been around you, but you haven't been quiet enough to hear Him. When's the last time you had to pull to the side of the road because the tears were flowing? When was the time you turned off maybe one of the late shows? If you're married, if that is your place and station, to grab the hand of your spouse. And you guys have been so busy running around to soccer practice and all those other places. It's, hi, honey, I missed you. I'll get you when you come back. And grab a hand and just pray and sing and ask God's presence to be noticed. It's powerful. Quite frankly, be careful, because it just might change your life. There really is truly nothing this side of glory that's like it. And can I let you know that as glorious as that is, God has to put it through the filter system. What do you mean? Imagine taking your hair dryer and going out to the power lines, 30,000 volts, and saying, okay, I'm going to give me some electricity. Are you ready, hair dryer? Foink. Boom! Because the hair dryer can't handle the voltage. It has to go through transformers that step it down from 1.21 gigawatts down to a palatable and manageable 110 alternating current. What we experience in worship, as glorious as it is about 110 volts. Wait till you get to heaven. And all the transformers are gone. You're hooked up to the fire hose of His love. Boom! Where was I? Remember when Moses wanted to see the face of God? What did God say? Can't do it, Mo. I'm going to have to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and then I'm just going to pass by. You won't see me, but you'll see a bit of my afterglow. Did that affect Moses physically? His face shone like a light bulb and freaked out the people. There's coming a day when we won't have anything between this heart and His heart. Verse 4, we will see Him face to face, and His name shall be on their foreheads, a sense of ownership. How many of you love Toy Story? There are some that say that I resemble Woody. I don't know if I like that or not. Remember the touching scene where he bends his leg backwards because he's a doll? And on the bottom of his boot is the name written Andy. Verse 5, there should be no night there. We looked at that in chapter 21. Don't need the combustion. We don't need photons. What kind of light are we talking about here? It's the same light that was all over the creation. Day one, let there be light. Light be, and light was. But wait a minute, God. You don't make the sun until day four. What was lighting up everything? You have to understand something. The visible light spectrum that we can perceive with these instruments, light in God is beyond that. It is every frequency emanating on every wavelength. All that is life in God is permeating all through us. It doesn't say that there isn't a sun. It just says that we don't need it. There might well be the sun. I don't know. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord God, the holy prophet, sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Shortly? Serious? It's been 2,000 years, Lord. The word here for shortly is entakos. For you gearheads out there, it's where we're going to get our word tachometer. It means intensity of how rapid it happens. Once it begins, nothing will stop it. Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, the signs of the end times are going to be like birth pains. Do you remember? Birth pains? Yeah. They start far apart, don't they? But eventually they get closer and closer, and finally one on top of the other, and then the birth is very close at hand. That's what the word here is. Technically speaking, the last days, the end times, began with the resurrection of our Lord. Well, watch this, says Jesus. I will let myself be killed, and here's the kicker. I'm going to raise myself from the grave. You see how automatically that puts Jesus in a different category than anybody else who ever founded a religion. Then another very important birth pain. 1948, Israel becomes a nation. Huge. Then 1967, Jerusalem comes under the control and the auspices of the Jewish people. And now, you guys, do you see what's happening? They're happening with such intensity. That's the word. Entakos. We don't live in the signs of the time. We live in the time of the signs. Have been watching Putin. I say that only partially in jest. Once it gets started, it will start and then begin to increase in intensity and rapidity. Behold, I am coming quickly. Come on, Jesus. It's been 2,000 years. Again, a different word. Tack A, which means when he appears, it will be sudden with such great intensity that when it arrives, too late to change your tune. You know, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, there he is. I believe. Too late. That's what this word means. Your true heart condition will be suddenly revealed. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard all this stuff. What things? Well, basically chapter 1 through current. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Now wait a minute, didn't John do that in the last chapter? John, don't worship me, says the angel. Angels are fellow servants alongside of you. Don't worship me, worship God. Well, here's John doing it again. I want you to notice what the angel does. Then the angel said to me, what are you, stupid? Nah. Then the angel said to me, didn't we go over this? You are pig-headed. Nope. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of his book, worship God. I wrote in my margin here, look at this angel showing the fruit of the Spirit, patience. He is so blown away by all that's going on, all that he has reported. The six seals, the seven churches, the cataclysmic worldwide judging of planet Earth on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating planet. Angels pouring across the sky, broadcasting the gospel. This new Jerusalem, the fullness of God's presence. I have no compartment for that in my brain. Are we as blown away when we get into the book of Revelation? I understand the temptation to get so caught up in the beautiful intricacies and details and how it weaves together Old and New Testament. Of the 800 some Old Testament references, every simile, every metaphor, every model in your book of Revelation is explained in another location. With a working knowledge of your Old and New Testament, you know exactly what God is saying. And we've labored to try to bring that to you. How many of you have realized that the book of Revelation is not that tough? But in fact, it is awesome. Then he said to me, verse 10, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Can I rephrase? Don't close this book. What book? Well, the Bible for sure, but the book of Revelation specifically. What's your church going over? Our church is going over the 10 reasons for this and the 5 principles for that and this and that and what it might be. What are you guys talking about at your church? A book of Revelation. How many of you have done that and heard them say, ooh, are you in trouble? Is that what it is? You're in timeout. You're going to have to take 5 book of Revelations and 4 Our Fathers. How many of you have ever heard even pastors say, we don't go anywhere near the book of Revelation? When was the last time in another location, another church perhaps, that you ever heard a pastor literally explaining, detailing what hell is? Remember Revelation chapter 3, the last of 7 churches. Remember they were also representative of 7 epochs of time, 7 distinct seasons that the church would go through. Do you remember that? What was the last church? It was the church of Laodicea. Jesus says that in the very last days, the church that will be predominant, the environment of the church at large, will be the Laodicean church. What was their issue? They never got into anything hot or cold, just lukewarm. Let's don't talk about hot, difficult subjects like hell, like sin, like the judgment of a holy God. No, no, no. That makes people uncomfortable. Let's talk about how lovely God is. And believe you me, he is lovely to be sure. But he is a holy, righteous God. Coming a time when the responsibility of purity and righteousness, which is judgment, has to come. They're going to be replete with cultural coolnesses, rich on the outside. Thousands at a service with beautiful lights and sound, audiovisual, and slamming musicianship. Because of the lights and the sound, the senses will go, ooh, this is awesome. But at the end of the service, technically speaking, no substance. And Jesus says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're vanilla. You think you have it all, but truly speaking, you have nothing. Ask for me instead the gold that's tried in the fire. How is gold tried in the fire, you guys? When it gets really hot, the impurities float to the surface, are drawn off as dross. And what happens to the gold purified in the fire? It's more purified. And God says Christians are a lot like that. As fleshly beings, I am inconsistent.
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation. and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.